So according to this text from Bukhari, Muhammad deliberately started with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in recommending people from whom the Quran should be learned, which implies that he was, in Muhammad's eyes, the best authority on the Quran that existed in the Muslim world at his time. And when we look at him, we see that the man was a man of great character in Islam, great stature. He'd been with Muhammad from the very beginning almost. He was one of his earliest converts, and he became one of the leaders in the province of Iraq at Kufa after his death. But we find that he records a number of different texts where his varies from that of Zayd ibn Thabit. And we turn to three of them I'm going to give you just briefly to show exactly what the character of the differences were between his readings and those of Zayd. For example, we turn to Surah 2, verse 275, where you find the words, people who devour interest or usury, riba, will not stand. And that's how the text reads. But Ibn Mas'ud's text, although it had the same words, added the expression yawmul qiyamati. In other words, people who devour interest will not stand on the day of resurrection. That variant reading is mentioned by Abu Ubaid in his book, Kitab Fatayil al-Quran, the book on the excellences of the Quran. It's recorded in the Codex of Tolha, secondary codex dependent on Ibn Mas'ud's text. So here you have an expression which is not just a pronunciation of a vowel point or anything like that. Rather, it's a clause, it's an extra set of words that was added to his text of this particular verse, which is not found in the Quran as we find it today. Then secondly, I move to Surah 6, verse 153, which begins with the words, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِيرَتِي, verily this is my path. But Ibn Mas'ud's text, we learn from At-Tabari, read, وَحَذَا سِيرَةِ رَبَّكُمْ, this is the path of your Lord. And we find also that Ubay ibn Ka'b, the other great authority on the Quran, had the same reading, except that in his case, instead of having the word Rabbakum, he had Rabbika. And so we find too that this changed expression as it is recorded here appears in one or two of the other secondary codices, the other manuscripts that existed. And in fact, Ibn Abi Dawud, in his book, the Kitab al-Masahif, page 61, as it's been printed, even goes further and says that Ibn Mas'ud read the word Sirat with the Arabic letter Sin, rather than the standard Sa'd. So you find, as you go through these particular works, that there are numerous evidences and examples of different readings, variant readings, in the text of the Quran. I will give you another one. This time it comes from the manuscript of Ubay ibn Ka'b, which gives an example of the kind of distinction that you find between the different Quranic texts. This is Surah 5, verse 48, where the Quran says that we inscribed Allahim fiha therein for them, meaning the Jews. But you find that the reading of Ubay ibn Ka'b was وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِيهَا, and we sent down to the children of Israel therein. So you have a different expression entirely. It's basically the same, but the wording is very different. The rest of the text in front and afterwards remains exactly the same. And you can go on and on through these early records and you'll find that there were different readings, different passages of the Quran held in one text that are omitted from another or written differently in another. And one can see why Uthman went to the drastic extent of ordering these various manuscripts to be burnt, because the distinctions between them were not minor. They were not confined to vowel points. They were not confined to pronunciations only, something I'll come to at the close of this talk. They were radical. They were very distinct. There were whole clauses that were different. You find also in certain parts of the hadith literature that whole passages of the Quran are said to be missing. In fact, you'll even find, for example, in one case, that the Khalif Umar during his lifetime claimed that a whole verse about adultery is now missing from the Quran as it stands. In the Quran today, in Surah 24 and verse 2, it says, "The woman and the man guilty of adultery or fornication, flog each one of them with 100 stripes. But we find that Umar once stated, and this is recorded in almost all the works of hadith literature, in the Sirah literature as well, Ibn Ishaq's Sirah, Rasulullah, Sahih of al-Bukhari, I quoted from the second text, from volume 8, page 539, Umar sat on the pulpit one day in a mosque, I think must have been the major one in Medina, and said when the people had finished the prayer call, Umar stood up and having glorified and praised Allah as he deserved, he said, "I'm going to tell you something which Allah has written for me to say. I do not know, perhaps it portends my death. Whoever understands and remembers it must tell it to the others, wherever his mouth takes him. But if somebody is afraid that he does not understand it, then it's unlawful for him to tell lies about me." So you can see from this that Umar was very concerned that what he was about to say would not be taken either lightly or favorably. And his attitude was, what I want to tell you, you may not like, but none of you must dare say that I haven't said this. And what he said is now recorded in the Sirah Rasulullah, in the English translation that we have, page 684. God sent Muhammad, he said, and he sent down the scripture to him, meaning the Quran. Part of what he sent down was the passage on stoning, meaning that people who committed adultery, married men and married women, should be stoned to death. He said, the apostle stoned, and we stoned after him. I fear that in time to come men will say they find no mention of stoning in God's book and thereby go astray in neglecting an ordinance which God has sent down. Truly, he said, stoning in the Kitabullah, in the book of Allah, is a penalty laid on married women and men who commit adultery. In other records, in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, in the English translation, page 352, the verse is said to have read, the adult men and women who commit adultery, stone them. And it's well known that this practice of stoning adulterers has continued as part of the sunnah of Islam even down to the present day. And this is where it comes from. There are numerous records in the hadith literature that tell us that during the lifetime of Muhammad, he did precisely this. He stoned people to death who were guilty of adultery. So you have a contradiction between what Umar says here and what is actually written in the Quran today. But Umar was quite persuaded that this verse belonged in the Quran, and in fact the various early writers of Islamic tradition, particularly Abu Ubaid again, actually have passages where they say that the original text of the Quran of Surah Al-Baqarah used to be the same length as a later surah in which was the verse of stoning. Ubay ibn Ka'b, in the tradition I'm actually quoting, as recorded in Abu Ubaid's work, said to me, "Azir, how many verses did you count in Surah Al-Ahzab?" 72 or 73, I answered. But he said to me, it used to be equal to Surah Al-Baqarah, and we used to read in it the verse of stoning. So I said, what is the verse of stoning? He said, a grown man and woman commit adultery, stone them without hesitation as a warning from Allah, for Allah is mighty and wise. And there are numerous other instances, I'm just giving these as brief examples, numerous other records of variant readings of a substantial type that made Uthman take this seriously enough to order that the other manuscripts of the Quran that were in existence should be burnt. The idea was that the confusion or the differences, the divisions might grow further and further until the standard text of the Quran was in fact lost completely. And so his aim when he ordered these other texts to be burnt was not to establish Zayd's text as the sole authoritative text because he believed it was perfect, but simply to get uniformity. That's what early Islamic tradition said. Mus'haf Wahid, that was his objective. A single manuscript, a single written text of the Quran for the whole Muslim community. The aim was literally to stop the division and confusion regarding the Quran going even further still and to preserve what was there. But now I come to a key Muslim argument. Whenever Muslims hear of these traditions. Whenever they are confronted with these records in the early traditional literature of Islam, they say it could not have been major differences that existed. There must be something else. There must be other differences that existed. They couldn't have been so serious. And the argument goes, and one reads this in so many Muslim writings today, that the differences were only in pronunciation. They were only in qira'ah, in recitation, because they were, although Arabic was spoken as the common language of the Hijaz, there were different dialects, different lughat that existed in that area, and they say that all that was happening here was simply that some of them read the Quran one way and others read the Quran another way, and the end result was just that the different dialects were confusing people, and so Uthman decided simply to standardize one dialect. And even there, the average Muslim might say to himself, but that still sounds as though there were some differences. But they turn, the Muslim writers, to a tradition recorded in Sahih of al-Bukhari, volume 6, page 510, where we read these words. The Quran has been revealed to be recited in 7 different ways, so recite of it that which is easier for you. And that text comes out of an incident in Muhammad's lifetime where Muhammad himself was actually confronted by Umar and another companion, and they were reading the Quran differently. And Umar said, this man doesn't read it as I read it. And so Muhammad said to the companion, read the text that was in dispute, and he read it. And then he said to Umar, you read it, and he read it differently. And Muhammad said, you're both right. And they said, but how can this be? And he said, no, the Quran was revealed to be recited in 7 different ways. Sabati Akhruf is the expression used in Arabic. The 7 different readings. And recite whichever one is easier for you. And so Muslims say today, that is what the different readings were. They were purely in pronunciation, just different dialects. There were 7 of them. They were all authorized by Allah. So there's no change, no division, nothing of the Quran has been changed or lost. But if one looks at this carefully, you find that that tradition about the 7 different readings cannot possibly be applied to this record of the Quran's transmission as we have it. Firstly, when Uthman ordered the Quran to be written out, he did it in the way in which Arabic was written then. And in those days, the vowel points of Arabic, the fatha, the kasra, the dhamma as we know them, were not used in the written text. They only got into the text later. Originally, Arabic only had 17 consonants, not even the diacritical points that distinguish, as we would say in our alphabet, a B or an N or a T from one another, not even those were used in the earliest texts. The text purely used 17 consonants, and whatever variations there were in pronunciation could not have been dealt with in the transmission of the Quran in the written form in which Uthman ordered it to be written out, simply because they were part of qira'ah, recitation. See, Uthman was dealing with a thing which Arabic calls a mushaf, a text, a written manuscript. And that written manuscript could have one text, and yet it could be read in so many different ways because of the way in which you could use different vowel points. And many of the variant readings recorded in the Kitab al-Masahif, particularly some of the hadith works on the different dialects that existed in Abu Dawud's records. Abu Dawud, in the Kitab al-Sunan that he wrote, there's a whole chapter given just to differences in dialect and slight variations in meaning in some Quran texts. These were to do with qira'ah, pronunciation, recitation. And you can't burn what a man says or how he pronounces something. You can only burn something that's written. And the reason why these Quran texts were ordered to be burnt was because what was written varied in the various texts. And what was written there was substantially different, as we've seen in many cases, between one manuscript and the other. And even then, if one looks into the records of the early hadith and other literature of Islam, one says, but wait a minute, what exactly or were these 7 different readings? How do we find them recorded in early Islam? In fact, you don't. You have to go to the year 322 as we know today, Anno Hijra, which means in the year after Muhammad's immigration to Medina. 300 years after Muhammad's life, to find anyone dealing with the text about the seven different readings. And that was a theologian by the name of Ibn Mujahid, who was one of the leading theologians in the Abbasid government of the day at Baghdad. And this man decided to do away with the wide variety of pronunciations and dialects that there still were of the Quran in his time. When Uthman ordered those other manuscripts to be burnt, he couldn't deal with the differences in pronunciation. And it was this man, Ibn Mujahid, who had considerable influence with the wazirs of his day, that said, let us prescribe only seven of them as the acceptable readings according to that tradition of Muhammad. And so, like Zayd before him, but even more according to his own discretion, he chose what he felt were the seven best readings of the Quran in terms of pronunciation and dialect, and he imposed those readings on the Muslim world from the Abbasid seated government and said no others will be allowed. And so, like the original standardizing of the written text, now the Qira'ah of the Quran also became standardized into seven different forms. Only two of those forms have survived to the present day, the reading of Hafs and the reading of Warsh. The reading of Warsh survived only in parts of the Maghrib, of North Africa, Morocco, Algeria, virtually died out. But every written, printed manuscript of the Quran today will fully vocalize the vowel points, follows the reading of Hafs. They're all the same. We accept it. But not because they were originally the same, but simply because the Quran has been, as you can see, through a process of being standardized until it has come down to the form in which we have it today, where not only the written text in terms of the consonants has been standardized and is uniform, but even the pronunciation follows only one particular form. That's why you have a single text of the Quran today, but not because it was originally so. There's no way, going back into the early history of Islam and the Quran development, that you can possibly tell what those original seven readings were supposed to be. Ask any Muslim theologian to write out seven different Qurans, fully vocalized, and say, these are what they were. These were the seven different readings. Even worse, they'll ask him to produce proof from the early records of Islam and the Quran as to how he gets that authority to say it was those seven. Not possible. That just became a convenient hadith to be used in later years to explain differences of reading. But as I said, differences of qira, of pronunciation, had nothing to do with the original order of Uthman to burn the manuscripts of his time. That had to do with vital differences of reading that you find between the manuscripts of his day. So let us close and let us have a look just briefly at the stages of the Quran's development. Firstly, during Muhammad's lifetime, it was loosely held in the memories of men. It was written down on palms of dates. It was written down on stones and other materials. Nowhere was there anywhere where an exact, complete manuscript of the Quran existed. After Muhammad's death, during the reign of Abu Bakr, the first attempt was made to reduce the Quran to a single written form. Zayd ibn Thabit wrote out a manuscript of the Quran, but so did Ibn Mas'ud, so did Ubay ibn Ka'b, so did many others. By the time of Uthman, it was discovered that in the expanding Muslim world, the Quran was being read very differently in the various provinces, and it became apparent that vastly different readings, real variants in the text itself, existed throughout the Muslim world. And so Uthman gave an order to destroy all the other manuscripts in existence. None escaped the order. And he then transcribed Zayd's text and made that text alone the official text of the Quran. That was a standardizing process. That resolved the problem of the major differences between the texts. But the records of those differences survived. Then we find, though, that the qira'ah, the recitation, the different forms of pronunciation survived Uthman's action, notwithstanding Muslim arguments that that was Uthman's purpose, was to do away with those different a minor variance in pronunciation and just prescribe one text. No, quite the opposite. Those different readings, and there were more than seven different forms of them, survived. And various texts were read in various ways. There was no way you could confine it in seven different forms. Until Ibn Mujahid became a second Zayd, and he then became the redactor of one particular form of readings. And he allowed seven different aspects of it. And he said that is what the original text was intended to cover. But again, it was a man acting on his own discretion, not under divine supervision. And today, most of those readings have fallen into disuse, so that only one, the text of Hafs, prevails throughout the Muslim world today. If there is any difference between the Quran and the Bible in their textual history, the difference is simply that Christian scholars, in the interests of honesty and objective sincerity, preserve the variant readings that are in the Bible. Muslim scholars found it expedient rather to destroy them. The other big difference is that when one looks at the volume of them in each case, in the case of the Bible, you can only fill two or three pages with the variant readings that come out of a book that runs to 1,000 pages. The Quran is only one-fifth the length of the Bible. It came much later than the Bible. It was compiled over a period of 23 years, unlike the Bible, which was compiled over 2,000 years of history. And yet, when one would expect, therefore, naturally, that the transmission of the Quran should be more accurate to that than the Bible, you find that the variant readings that are known to have existed, as Arthur Jeffrey took them out of all these different works that I've been mentioning, fill no less than 400 pages. And that shows that the Muslims are not being entirely honest when they suggest that our Bible has been changed and that the Quran is word perfect. Rather, the textual authority of the Bible has a far better grounding than that of the Quran. The Quran has been standardized into the uniform text that we have today. It was not originally compiled in that form.